today these two amazing romance novelists. Please join me in welcoming Megan Quinn interviewing Lucy Score.
Excited.
Yeah.
We had a little fun yesterday in Boston. It was a little pre-warm-up.
It was a good time. Yeah, we've got some, yeah.
Yeah.
Things got some familiar little, faces.
Things are a little unhinged.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. We're keeping it classy at this one, though.
Trying.
Trying. All right. So let's start off with a simple question. It's just very warm-up, okay?
Okay.
Before we get to the real hard-hitting ones.
Yeah, okay.
A manatee, a lifetime supply of tacos, and Mr. Lucy. These things are hanging off a cliff, and you can only save one. What do you choose?
Mr. Lucy.
Aww. Not the answer
I could buy another manatee.
And he can make you tacos.
Yeah, so. And he can make me tacos.
Yeah.
Mr. Lucy.
He makes great tacos.
Yes, you've been to our house. Yeah. You've been to our house. You've had our tacos.
Yeah. Keeping it classy, Lucy.
Sorry, I forgot.
Okay. If you guys haven't noticed, she released a book, Story of My Life. It's amazing. I cannot see any hands, but has anyone read it? Those are a few.
Fast readers. I hope you guys love it. I love this book so much, and hopefully you will too, because you came all the way here.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, for people who have not read it, or who might not know what the book's about, because I just see your name and purchase, mm-hmm. Only using tropes, please describe Story of My Life.
Okay, well, there's manatees. I'm just kidding, there's not manatees. Okay, all right, tropes and Story of My Life. Opposites attract, new in town. Grumpy sunshine.
Fake dating.
Small town. Is the small town a trope?
It is.
Okay.
It is, yeah. Okay. Why about a micro trope?
Micro trope?
Do you know what a micro trope is?
Yeah.
So, like, a micro trope would be like.
They have more than one bed. So
yeah. Well, like,
they can choose.
Fake dating micro trope would be like, she's my girlfriend, back away.
Uh-huh.
Something like that.
Uh-huh.
Do you have like a specific niche?
Okay, semi-domesticated raccoon?
Yes, that's exactly what we're looking for.
Okay, cool.
That's exactly what we're looking for.
That's my micro trope. Aggressive bald eagle?
Yes. Massive consumption of diet wild cherry Pepsi?
Just wild cherry Pepsi.
Oh, you
keep throwing the diet in there.
They told me.
Are you
that.
Trying to tell me something?
No.
Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah. Hazel is the main character. Is fueled by wild cherry Pepsi. That's her caffeine of choice.
I was fueled by that in middle school.
Really?
Along with a Chipwich.
Oh.
Really healthy.
That's nice. I was a Mountain Dew girl for a while.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Now Olipop.
I'm excited for you guys to try it because it is my favorite.
Okay, so Story of My Life takes place in quintessential Lucy Score, in a quintessential Lucy Score small town. Can you tell us more about Story Lake and if there was any inspiration while building the world?
Somebody's singing out there.
That's so cute.
Yes, this is. Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
We're all welcome here. Story Lake is, this is like my love letter to you guys. I had this idea a long time ago of, I thought it was a movie, and I thought it was a romance novelist who was going to recreate one of her fictional towns in real life, and all her readers were going to move to it, and they were all going to live together. And I thought that would be amazing, and then I realized I don't know how to write a script. So I thought maybe I can do it in real life and build a town, but I realized much quicker I don't know how to do that either. So I decided to write a book about a romance novelist who kind of helps a town become its, you know, reach its full potential and readers join her quest. So this is kind of for everybody who's ever emailed or messaged and said, I wish I could move to this fictional small town. So this one's for you guys. We all live in Story Lake now.
Oh my God. That's so sweet.
I mean, who wouldn't want you guys as neighbors?
I know.
Like, we're all like the cute, charming, quirky weirdos. Like, we belong together.
Yeah. Is this the story? Remember a little while back when we were chatting?
Yes.
And I was like, I have this great idea for a Christmas story.
Well, I think you should do it now because, like, Megan and I were talking a long time ago. Mm-hmm. This was probably like 18 books ago for Megan because she writes so fast. And I was working on this one. And we both kind of had a similar idea at the same time. And Megan's like, oh, no, you go with it. Cause I think she felt sorry for me because I was plodding along. But basically, the romance novelist, like we do in real life, we fantasize about things. We imagine scenes. So did you guys watch The Lost City with Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum?
Yeah.
You know how in the beginning she's like thinking about this scene and it's being played out? That's what I want. I wanted my heroine to be like fantasize. Everywhere she goes, she's having these scenes play out in her head. That was so hard to do in a book.
Yeah.
So I didn't do it very heavily handed. Mm-hmm. I think if it ever becomes a movie or a TV show, then it'll be great. So I think you should go ahead with your idea.
And it's funny because I told her about my great idea, and then she was like, oh, that's similar to what I'm doing. I was like, oh, crap. And so then, but then I didn't hear anything. So I checked back another like month or so. I'm like, still working on that? She's like, yeah.
Six months.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's fine. It's fine. I'll come up with something else.
It's finally here. I think you can go back to it now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just word to the wise, though. It's really hard to do on the page.
I did something similar with another one of my books where he was a screenwriter. And he was, like, talking about different things that he was, like, seeing. But It wasn't exactly to that point.
Gotcha.
Anyways, this is about you. Hazel. Hazel's a writer attempting to get into her mojo back, and her writing fuel is wild cherry Pepsi. What is your writing fuel?
Tears.
Is it Mr. Lucy's tears?
No. It makes me so sad when I make him cry. No. The Olipop thing is hilarious because this was not like a. It's not a commercial. It's literally. I drink it every day, and
coming off as one.
And after Christmas, I got an email from somebody named Steven Vigilante, which obviously immediately went on my character name list.
Yeah.
And he's like, "I'm a co-founder of Olipop," and I'm like, "Yeah, right, sure you are." And he's like, "My sister-in-law wouldn't stop talking about your books at Christmas," and he's like, "I'd love to collab sometime," and I was like, "I don't know how to collab with stuff." But I was like, oh, you're for real. You're actually from Olipop. And he's like, oh, you're going on tour. I'll send you some Olipop to your tour stops. And I thought he meant just for me. He didn't. You're all getting... It was the funniest thing. And I didn't realize until right before tour that that's what was happening. So I hope you guys like it. But yes, I drink an Olipop every day. Otherwise, I'm so boring. It's water. I drink a lot of water. I spill. I think I'm a very, like, dramatic writer.
Lemon in the water?
No.
No? Oh, my God, that is boring.
Yeah. It doesn't take much to get me going.
You're like Oprah.
If things are going really badly, I will ask Mr. Lucy to make me a dirty martini.
Oh.
So that's write drunk, edit sober. I do adhere to that advice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I'm fueled mainly by liquids, I guess.
Does everyone need to look under their chair after this to grab their Olipop?
No, they're getting it on the way out.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously, you weren't listening to the announcements.
Okay. Wow. I wasn't rude to you yesterday.
Okay, so who doesn't love a brooding hero? Does anyone not love a brooding hero in here? No, I don't see any hands. Good.
It's real dark, though.
I know. Okay. And Lucy is an expert at writing them. Can you describe Campbell in 3 words for us, besides brooding?
Damn it! He's grumpy.
Mm-hmm.
He's loud.
Oh.
He's loud in his grumpiness, which I actually really like, because usually I write the stoic grumpy types. So this was fun. He's, yeah. Okay, so grumpy.
Loud.
Loud.
Packing heat. Oh, wait, we have to keep it.
Can't say that.
PG.
Can't say that. Good with his hands. If I say that as one word, good with his hands.
Perfect.
Handy. Handy.
Handy.
Handy.
Handy in all ways. Okay, so as we know, Hazel is a romance writer. When you were writing her internal dialogue, was there any crossover with your own internal dialogue?
I think it's all my internal dialogue. Hazel's in a really angsty place. She has lost her mojo. So she is looking for inspiration anywhere. I've been there. So a lot of her internal, I loved writing her because I had to do very little research. Have you written a bunch of romance novelist heroines?
Wow, friend. I have a book called The Virgin Romance Novelist, but that's okay.
So just the one?
Actually, let's see. I have one, and then I have a male thriller author.
Fun.
Yeah. Like, I had to ask Steph about murder questions, because I don't pay attention to that stuff. And a screenwriter, and I think that's about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's fun writing about writers.
It is. It's fun to write about book people.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Like a book nerd.
Yeah.
And I tend to do that more often than I probably should.
No.
It's what I know. Okay. Let me think. Where do I want to go from here?
Ooh. Oh, boy.
Okay.
I'm going to pour you some water.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's about time.
This is...
In Story of My Life, you highlight a raccoon, 2 dogs, a pig, and a bald eagle. Word on the street is they all started to plot against you.
Hmm. That sounds about right.
Yeah, how would you gain their trust so they don't attack?
Snacks.
Snacks.
A lot of snacks.
What kind?
I mean, whatever all of those guys would like.
Yeah.
Like, probably, I don't know, some pizza maybe?
Dead rats?
No. People food.
Oh, yeah. You said pizza. I said dead rats. Okay.
Yeah. It's interesting that you made that jump.
Yeah.
You know a lot of dogs that eat dead rats?
I was thinking about
the
bald
breakfast.
Eagle. Listen, we have 2 hawks that, like, surround our house and protect us from the pigeons. Oh, my God. I know. I said it. And there was, it was real sad. We got home from France, and outside there was this combustion of feathers, and it was a pigeon.
Oh, no.
I know, and Steph was like, ha, because the pigeons like to, like, poop on our solar roof panel things. And so she hates the pigeons, but that's what I was thinking, like, bald eagle will eat the pigeon, dead rat, hawk,
right.
Pigeon.
I gotcha. Yeah. You know, we have hawks, too. We have red-shouldered hawks, which I didn't know existed until, like, last year, because I saw one, and I was like, what is that? And they're bigger than, like, red-tailed hawks. And we were out somewhere in the winter, and we came home. There was a little bit of snow on the ground, and as we're pulling around to the garage, I see one of the hawks fighting with something in the backyard. And, like, I get it. I get nature. You know, I understand. It was trying to eat another bird.
Oh.
It was trying to eat a crow.
Did it win?
No, because I jumped out of the car
in my cute
little suede loafers and went running through a flower bed and a snowdrift and started yelling, and the hawk just looks at me like, excuse me, I need my breakfast. And I was like, you can hunt. We live out in the country. So I'm like, not in our yard. Literally, go over there. Go eat something over there. Not in our yard. And I yelled, and the crow flew off and was like, I think he looked back and was like, thank you.
I was going to ask if there was an apology.
From
the hawk?
The hawk, no. No, he continued to try to eat stuff in our yard. But, yeah, so I chased him down and yelled. Right.
So, you were bitch slapped in the face by a koi fish. Tell
yes.
us more.
Well, the fish's name is Betty White. So I can say that I was slapped by Betty White. Rest her soul. Mr. Lucy has always wanted a koi pond, and I was like, sure, it sounds like fun. They're a lot more work than I thought they would be, especially when you add the fish. But so we have this pond put in, and it's like right up against our house. So first thing that happens, you know, it's spring going into summer, and I don't know if you guys have ever heard frogs during mating season, but when you have a big pond, you can fit a lot of
frogs. Can you make the noise for us?
I can't. It's like a really high-pitched, like,
oh.
But it's so loud, like, you can hear it inside with the TV up really loud. I mean, I guess it helps when there's like 100 of the frogs in the pond. So we dealt with that, and then we had 95 million tadpoles. And so we're like, we better get some fish in here. So Mr. Lucy had some fish that needed to be relocated from a very small kind of abandoned pond. So he did a lot of research. He was on YouTube watching people handle koi. Koi wranglers. Koi boys.
Koi boys?
Like cowboys.
I like that.
Koi boys. And they like make it look really easy. They're like, oh, here's this such and such koi, blah, 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 and let me show it to you. And they just reach down, they pick up fish. So it looked really easy. So I was helping with the transport. We got the first batch of fish into a gigantic cooler that we are going to have to wash out before Labor Day for that party.
You write that down,
Mr.
sir?
Mr. Lucy's backstage. Yeah. So we had a couple of koi in there, and we back it up.
What's happening? Oh, was he over there? Oh. Do you want me to be the koi?
No, I can't reenact it. My makeup will come off. So Mr. Lucy backs the truck up close to the, you know, close to the pond and pop the hatch and we're in the cooler. And he reaches in to get the first one. And I have a series of photos on my phone of the events that happened next. And in the first photo, you see him pulling Betty White out of the cooler, the fish, not the human. And you can see in his expression, something is about to go wrong. So he goes like this, and he turns towards me, and Betty White goes, and like the wettest, meatiest thwap, like just like right in the face. So my head snaps back, and then I look down, and Betty White is laying on the ground like this, looking up at me in shock, and I'm like, looking down at her in shock. And so Mr. Lucy was able to pick her up and throw her in the pond. I think she's okay. She does swim slower than all the other fish, though. So I think she's okay. But yeah, I got hit in the face. And the funny thing was, I had finished the draft of the book that day. And in the meet cute of this story, Hazel, our intrepid heroine, is hit in the face with a fish. So I manifested that. I wrote it, and it happened, and it was not great. Like, I'm going to have to write, like, lottery winners and, like, supermodels who can eat whatever they want. Like, that's what I'm going to have to do from now on, because my manifestation powers are so strong. I got hit in the face with a fish.
Can I borrow those?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I saw the pictures. She sent them to me. She was wrecked, you guys.
I have, like, in the last picture, I have, like, fish sludge on my face, and I'm, like...
She's looked better. Let's just say that.
Not by much, though.
Okay, so let's get back to a little bit of story of my life.
Okay.
There are so many fun, entertaining, swoon-worthy moments. I cannot read.
I know, it's okay.
Terrible.
We can just have a conversation. conversation if you want to.
It's terrible. I just have to bring it up to here. Okay?
It is hard. See, this is what I was saying about cue cards yesterday.
I know. I try to be coy. Like, I'm not reading off my phone. I am.
Coy like a fish?
I am. Let's try this again. There are so many fun, entertaining, swoon-worthy moments.
I can't keep a straight face now. I'm sorry.
Don't look at me.
Okay.
What was your favorite scene to write?
My favorite scene to write?
Yeah.
Probably, I think the meet cute was great because in my head I was like, what is the worst possible thing you could do to make a first impression? And that would be to maybe make it look like you injured a bald eagle in front of witnesses. Of course that's where my mind goes. So yes, the meet cute involves a fish to the face and a bald eagle, but I promise, like, no animals, real or fictional, were actually harmed.
Only authors.
Only authors. I'm a method writer. I took writing lessons for Jackson Joey's story in Blue Moon. I took horseback riding lessons for that. And I thought it was going to be one of those things where you realize you have a natural talent for something. I was so wrong. They were like, I don't know. I wish I could blame the horse, but
can you
no.
show us what you look like?
As on a horse?
Yeah. Do you want me to get on a horse?
It was not good. I mean, like, the children were riding better than I was. And it was, yeah. So, you know, sometimes I go a little method in my writing.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up, because that's a great segue to my next question.
Oh, good.
Okay, for those of you who came to our event yesterday, just ignore this, okay? But, Lucy.
Yes.
Are you a plotter or a pantser?
I am both.
That is not what you said last night.
I know, you didn't give me a chance. You were all like,
oh, wow.
You were like, I write everything perfectly. Tonight. I don't ever have to scroll back through my Microsoft Word document because I get everything right the first time, and I make it all up. And I was like,
oh, my God.
No, I do both. So I,
Mr. Lucy, do you want to come and do these questions? Thanks.
I start with an outline. And I'm not great at outlining, apparently, because I'm like, ooh, this feels like a book. This is a real story. Let's go write it. And then as soon as I start writing it, I'm like, ooh, what if we added this and this and this? And so it's about, my books are about 50% plotted and 50% what comes naturally while I'm in the writing phase. So yeah, I do both. And I appreciate the mindsets of both plotters and pantsers.
Do you want to apologize for lying to the people who were here last night?
I mean, I would, but you just didn't give me a chance to clarify.
Lies,
you were like, they're not here for you.
I asked you
and
to
I was
your
like,
face.
I know.
I asked you to your face. For those of you who don't know what a plotter or a pantser is, a plotter.
Oh, I can talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
A plotter is somebody who plans ahead. You outline, do you do character sketches or anything?
Of like what they look like?
No, but that would be super cool.
That would be cool.
Like just a general description of them.
You
do like a Bible, right? Like that's what I call it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll explain that in a second. But yeah, plotting is when you are outlining and you're kind of plotting out a path forward. And pantsing.
Pantsing is when you take your pants down and you write naked. No. So, imagine. Kids, don't go in there. She's writing.
Mommy's writing. Mommy's writing.
It's when you fly by the seat of your pants. You don't know what's going to happen, and just whatever happens on the keyboard happens. So,
yeah.
Apparently, Lucy does both.
Yeah, I do. And then the Bible, every book, before I start it, I start a new spreadsheet. So it's every character.
You do on a spreadsheet?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's columns, so it's the name, a description for the audio narrator, so like a description of how I imagine their voice sounds, physical description, personality, quirks, what kind of car they drive, what kind of pets they have, who they're related to.
Can I get a copy of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I use a notebook.
Oh.
I know, she was making fun of me last night because she uses some fancy writing program, and I use Word. Now she's using Excel.
Well,
I'm like,
not,
where's my notebook?
Listen, I'm not even going to give you like the Scrivener stuff because you'll just write faster and then like everybody's going to be like, 12 books a year is too much, Megan.
I know. It's four. Okay.
Wait, what's the most number of books you've written in a year?
I know I've released 8 in a year before. That's a lot. That's
How a lot. Dare she?
And you write long books. You're not writing like a 50,000
No, book. I like them girthy.
Yeah, same.
They don't have girth in my hand. What am I doing? So, besides being massively immature and inappropriate, we also have something very much in common. We were both fired from our jobs.
I wonder why.
Before becoming full-time authors. Tell me, how gut-wrenching was that?
It sucked. It really did. Like, I thought I was, like, I was writing on the side.
What was your job before?
I got fired from a lot of jobs, but the one I'm thinking of right now, I worked in marketing for an accounting firm.
Ooh, boo.
And I was writing romance nights and weekends, and I had put one book out, and I was really excited, and it did well enough that I was like, okay, I think I might have a career here.
Yay. Which one was it?
Undercover Love.
Nice.
And so I came up with a 5-year plan. I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this job for 5 years and write nights and weekends, and I'm gonna try to save up a full year's salary to see if I can become a full-time author. And right before my second book was going to come out, I started to get worried because a couple of my coworkers found out that I was writing romance, and I didn't want the bosses to find out and get upset. I just had a feeling they wouldn't like it. So on a Monday, I went into one of my bosses, and I said, hey, I just wanted to let you know, I have this little hobby. I do it on the side. I write romance. And they were like, oh, good for you. So Wednesday rolls around and they call me into a conference room, all of the bosses. And I was like, what's up, guys? And they're like, you have until the end of the year to find a new job. And I was devastated because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to stop writing books and start writing resumes. It was hard enough to get this job. I don't know, I'm unemployable, you guys. Really, like, just deeply unemployable. So I was devastated for like 24 hours. I called Mr. Lucy and I was like, you're not gonna believe this, they just fired me. He's like, good. He's like, this is gonna be the best thing that ever happened to you. And I was like, you don't know what you're talking about. And the very next day, Pretend Your Mind came out. And within 2 weeks, it hit number one on Amazon. And I was able to, thank you. Thank you. It was like the best thing ever because I was able to quit on them early. And they were like, but who's going to do all this stuff you were doing? And I was like, I don't know who was going to do it after I was gone. But it worked out great because I got to go full time as an author and they got to hire somebody who actually knew how to do marketing. And both sides are very happy now. So it worked out. It worked out for me.
I love that.
So far.
I know. My book released right after I got fired, too.
Really?
I did not hit number one.
I think you've made up for it, like, many, many times since then.
Yeah.
You have a very impressive career.
Okay. This is going to be a tough one.
Okay.
What is your favorite font? Sorry. It's such a stupid question. What's your favorite font to write in? And do you double space? Is there an indent?
Okay, well, everything I say you make fun of me for, so I might as well just tell the truth. I use Times New Roman.
Oh. My thoughts, exactly. How dare you?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I use Times New Roman, and I think, so... Double space, you mean between the lines, not like double space after a sentence.
What are you, 50?
I don't know. I do 1.5 spacing between lines.
Oh.
Yeah.
Rule breaker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I like, it looks nicer in the program that you make fun of me for using.
Do you add an automatic indent?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of indent?
Half inch.
Oh, yeah, same.
Okay. Cool. I get so nervous answering her questions because she's so mean.
These are the questions people want to know. They want behind the scenes stuff.
Times New Roman, guys.
Okay.
They're going to make t-shirts. nice new Roman, Lucy score. Yeah.
But they'll put it in a different font just to mess with you.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. It doesn't look great on a t-shirt.
Okay, if a genie offered you three wishes for writing wishes. I didn't read that correctly. I had something in my eye. If a genie offered you three writing wishes, is it gross? What does it look like? Gross?
I don't see anything. I think you're okay.
Third time's a charm. If a genie offered you three writing wishes, what would they be?
Okay, number one.
This is a question I did not tell you.
Yeah,
in the file.
I know. you can tell by my face. Number one, I would like to learn all of the things on Mr. Lucy's list called things Lucy refuses to learn in manuscripts. Like, I don't know if cell phone is one word or two, so I just do the way it feels naturally to me. So there are certain things that I get wrong every single usage, so he has this running list of things. And I think it's really long, you guys.
Does he edit your books?
He goes through it before it goes to anybody else, and he formats it for me. So I export it out of Scrivener, and then he formats it for me. But, okay, so that's one. Gosh.
Megan Quinn writing speed would be a good one.
Yeah, it would be nice. It would be nice to write faster, but I don't know. I really enjoy my process. Like, I think it would be that I didn't have to do anything else. like, oh, you just have to write this week. That's it. There's no other tasks. That would be nice.
Oh, yeah.
That would be good. Like the ability to just focus on the writing.
Have a magic marketer.
Yeah. And then, you know what? I think I would invent the teleporter so I wouldn't have to travel on tour. I could just boop.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That's a great one.
Like, I could get dressed in my own house and, like, you guys, we drove here from a hotel. I brought two bags with me. Like, not small bags. Large bags. Because I was like, well, here's all of my toiletries. I'm not going to unpack them and then run back to the hotel and repack them tonight for our 5 a.m. flight tomorrow. So I just brought everything with me. So it'd be really nice to have a teleporter so I could just get ready at home and then pop in. That would be cool.
Okay. If you were to take a character from Knock 'Em Out, woo! And transplant them into Story Lake, who would it be and would they have a happily ever after?
Well, everybody gets a happily ever after, unless you're Misty Lynn in Bootleg Springs. Terrible, the worst. Okay, Knock 'Em Out. Who should come to Story Lake? This is a tough one. Because I could see, like, Knox and Cam would get along and also hate each other. So that, you know, but Knox would have to bring Naomi.
Obviously.
So I think it has to be a secondary character. Yeah. You know, I'd bring Steph. Steph, the best friend. Yeah. Everybody deserves a Steph. Yeah. I would put Steph in every single one of my books.
I
love him.
I like that question, or that answer. Okay, you guys, things are about to get heated up here.
Like
not
argument,
in the spice
or?
Way.
Okay. Cool, because I really like your wife.
I know.
She's so nice.
There has been some debate between the two of us.
Oh, I know where this is going.
About a favorite character from a certain TV show.
I believe the original question is, who is the best?
Excuse me, can I ask my question?
Well, fine. Go ahead. I'll correct you later.
Okay. I'm sure you will. We actually do like each other. I don't know what's happening. We're nervous.
Megan's been staying in a penthouse for 4 days, and I think it's going to her head.
They gave it to me.
She was like, where is my butler?
I know. I gave you slippers.
I know. That was so nice. I have been wearing them the whole entire time.
They're like the flimsiest foam thing.
But I love them.
I know.
She gave me slippers.
I pet them before I go to bed.
Precious.
Okay, so
just a pause there,
yeah,
real
sure.
quick. Mr. Lucy always gets so sad because when hotels do have the slippers, they're too small for his feet. And every time he tries so hard to stuff his feet into the slippers, but But he wears like size 14s, and they do not make those flimsy little hotel slippers in 14s. I know because I looked.
I have so many inappropriate things to say, and I'm not going to.
I mean, I think the audience gets it.
Just gonna. Work on this question again.
Yeah, get back to your TV show here.
Okay, so please tell everyone why you're wrong about your favorite Friends character.
Because my favorite is Chandler, and I'm not wrong.
Thank you.
He is my favorite, and I think he is the best friend.
I disagree. Although I spent my entire high school career.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, that's fair, yeah.
Sure. Eating Friends for just over and over and over again.
I'm just offering you an opportunity to rephrase if you so choose. Okay.
No.
All right, cool.
No. I choose not to. And I think Chandler is where I've learned a lot of my humor from. Mm. And so I do think that he is a great character. Do I think he's the best? No, because Ross is.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I feel so vindicated.
No,
you guys,
no,
this has been
no.
going
okay,
on for like a
go,
year and a half.
Here we go. This is where the...
Do you have notes? You have notes on there?
Yeah,
why?
Let me just... Okay, are we ready? Monkey, leather pants, tanning, white teeth.
That was all one episode.
The only reason Chandler's funny is because Ross gets in all these situations. So,
with Chandler.
What did it say? They were on a break. And I just recently have been binging once again, and because I knew this was coming, and I was like, Lucy's going to hear it from me. Rachel says that they were on a break at one point.
Yeah.
So they were on a break.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So somebody said this to me recently, and I can't get it out of my head. They're like, you know what would be the most perfect commercial ever? Kit Kat with Ross and Rachel.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, someone make this happen.
Why haven't they thought of that?
I don't know.
They're not using you as marketing.
I think it's genius.
Yeah. No. I just I want you guys all to go home tonight.
She's giving you homework.
Go on to Max because they have all of the seasons of Friends, and I want you to start watching again and look at it through a Ross is the favorite perspective. Write up a report.
Never.
Ross is the best. I mean, what about when he's, like, awkward with Joey and Rachel when they start dating? He's like, I'm gonna make fajitas. And, like, come on. Like, he's Sputnik. Like, there's just so many things about him.
This happened. Okay, we accidentally hijacked an entire event because we got very heated about this. This was at Books a Million in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Megan and a bunch of your author friends were on tour together, and I popped in to kind of be like the MC. And it was like a wedding-themed event, which was super fun. And somehow this came up, and me as the MC, I'm like, no. We argued for several. People were like, the organizer were like, move on, and we're like, no!
And it was only me and Lucy. No one else got an opinion.
Yeah, we were very loud.
I felt bad for
them. We kept knocking microphones out of everybody else's.
Exactly.
That's why they gave us the lavalier mics. We can't fight with them.
Okay. What is the weirdest thing you've ever used as a birthmark? Or...
I don't know, I guess my skin?
It says birthmark.
I was just going to say, I know you guys won't believe me, but no, I know you will believe me. I have used a taco, like a Taco Bell soft taco in the wrapper as a bookmark.
I did.
An extended period of time, but I did that.
Mine is underwear.
I feel like there's more convenient ways of doing that.
Just kidding. Or am I?
don't have like a grocery list lying around.
No, the underwear does it, you guys. Okay, so this is my worst moment.
I'm happy to share it with you. We'll get through this together.
My hands are so sweaty. If you weren't delighting us with your stories, what would you be doing instead?
Oh, okay. As previously stated, I am unemployable. Mm-hmm. I've given this a lot of thought because I don't know about you, because I think you have like an excellent self-confidence. I still worry, to this day, I still worry that I'm going to have to go out and get a real job.
I do too.
Do you really?
Yes. It's all fake over here.
Okay. Oh my gosh. That makes me feel so much better. Like, I just love this so much, so of course I'm terrified it's all going to go away. Yeah. So I've decided that I'm going to become a painter, an artist. I don't know if there's any OG newsletter followers in here. But years ago, I went through a period where I was trying to paint a Bob Ross painting, and I was filled with so much rage. It angered me. I bought all the oil paints. I was like, I'm going to do this. Because I would watch the Bob Ross shows, and it was so relaxing, and he was so lovely. And I was like, I want to feel that way. So I got all this stuff, and I picked a painting, and I'm watching the episode and pausing and pausing and pausing. I set it up outside. I was out there for like 4 hours, and I can't paint those happy little clouds.
Ooh.
I got so mad, I just went inside and I left the painting out there. I was like, you live out here now. I hope a raccoon gets you. And the next day, Mr. Lucy had gone out and brought it inside, and I looked at it. I was like, oh, that's not too terrible. But it filled me with so much rage. So now I mess around with acrylic paints because they're less rage-inducing for me.
Do you ever paint Mr. Lucy with a rose in his mouth?
No. I don't think I could do, like, anything good.
Oh.
Like, it's, you know, I'm going to be somebody who, like, paints these things and sells them at a yard sale or, like, a flea market.
Mm.
And that is what I would do if I weren't writing.
Well, I'm looking forward to my Lucy Score original.
I've done a couple watercolors. I got pretty good at watercoloring a duck. Like, one of my dear friends, her name is Laura, she is the publicist of Nora Roberts, and she's very artistic, and she's always looking for new projects, and I was like, I'm gonna challenge you to a little art challenge contest thing. And she's like, oh, okay, all right, what are we gonna do? I was like, let's watercolor something. So I found this kit, and I was like, ooh, it's a duck. A white duck on a white piece of paper. How hard could that be?
Very hard.
Very hard. Very hard. So I did like, I think I did 3 or 4 drafts of it. And as this is going on, Laura texts me. She's like, Nora wants in. And I was like, does she want me to send her a watercolor kit? And she's like, no, Nora Roberts wants to judge our ducks. I was like, okay. So I taped $5 to the back of my duck.
You're bribing?
Yeah, of course. I did that in high school, too.
Only five, though?
Yeah, I've always been poor.
Oh, yeah.
So I taped $5 to the duck, and I sent it in, and I still lost. And I never got the duck back, either. I don't know what happened
to
it.
How were the $5?
Didn't get that back
either.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. So I eventually painted another one to keep in my house, and I hang it. It's in the half bath downstairs, and I call it Quacker and the Crapper. But every once in a while, a guest will come out of the bathroom and be like, did you paint that? Yeah, it's no big deal. Watercolor ducks are kind of my thing.
Wait, did I see that?
You might have.
Oh, I might have.
Yeah. You probably just thought it was like really bad flea market art, though. It's me, I did that.
I looked at it and said, that has Lucy written all over it.
It does. I wrote Lucy under the foot of the duck.
I feel like we need to have the audience have questions now.
I think that would be great.
That would be wonderful. I don't know how it's going to work.
How are we going to
I don't know.
Yeah. I know there's a microphone.
There's a microphone.
There's a microphone.
So if you want to sprint up.
Oh, here comes the.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
There's
this is fancy.
Hi, everybody.
This is fancy.
Everybody looks
okay.
So nice.
Anyone want to shout a question? We have some people. Oh, in the front right here with the sunglasses.
Do you have any plans for any more Riley Thorne novels?
Yes. Yes. Oh, I'm so glad that you want more because, yeah, I have like a notebook full of ideas of like people who could get murdered or. I have this one idea with Jasmine that I'm very excited about. So, yes, I have more plans for Riley Thorne.
Yay!
I'm excited that you're excited. Oh, thank goodness. Whew.
Lucy, you pick.
I don't know. I can't see anybody.
I see someone right here in the front with a mask
on. I see.
Yeah,
yes.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Did you hear that? What would their, if
what,
two
okay,
main characters were in a karaoke bar, what would their song
Story
be?
Story Lake. Right, gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Oh, boy. This is when the panic sets in.
I know, that's, I know.
I'm sweating
All
you.
I can think of are Taylor Swift songs.
Okay, Hazel's would be Cruel Summer.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that works on so many levels. That's great. Good job, me. And Cam would do Down in a Ring of Fire. I don't know, because he'd be so mad that he had to be at karaoke. Yeah, he would.
Ring of Fire?
Ring of Fire.
Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash, yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that's what he would do. I think that's what he would do.
In the white shirt.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I understand. That's, yeah. this is a real tough question to answer during Amazon Boycott Week, which I launched during. I will say, I think, yes, I make money off of Kindle Unlimited, so it's very beneficial to me and my business. I think it also saves readers from bankruptcy. Like the voracious readers, it gives you an opportunity. Yes, so it definitely helps me, but so do sales and so do audio downloads. So it's really basically what fits best for you, I think.
Yeah, that was going to be my answer.
Yeah.
We get paid with Kindle Unlimited. We get paid with sales. Mm-hmm. So we get paid no matter what. So what I say to readers is read the way that you want to read and consume the way that you want to consume. And that's
and
just,
we will support you.
Yes, and that's your choice, and you do it the way that you want to. But either way, we're always getting paid as long as you're getting the book from a reputable
right,
website.
Like not a pirate site.
Yeah.
Like, igotbooks.com. I stole these.
Yeah, it's terrible. No, but we get paid no matter what, so you consume the way that you want to consume.
Even when you are checking the paperback out of the library, you know, we still benefit.
Yeah. You want it? Yeah. I will say, we would write one hell of a book, okay?
But
probably kill each other. You would murder me before I murdered you.
I don't think so.
I think so.
No, because you would be like, here are my 10,000 words for the day. Where are yours? And I would be like, I wrote 500. I'm so sorry. I'm letting you down. Yeah, our speeds they're not conducive to working together. And I mean, I feel like I'm a pretty big control freak when it comes to story. How about you?
You know, I'm a pantser. I just go with it.
You just go with
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, is that what you want? Okay. I think you have to, like, when you collab with another author, you have to have the same sort of, I don't know, there's a lot of patience you would have to have.
Yeah. And Lucy doesn't have it, so there you go.
I think our humor would work really well together, but nothing else. Literally nothing. I mean, we're even in different time zones. You probably write at 5 o'clock in the morning, like
not anymore.
Oh, that's
the children.
Six a.m.
Yeah, six. Yeah.
I start at like 2 p.m.
No, I'll write throughout the day. And then I'll do videos. I'll put 20 minutes on, 10 minutes videos, 20 minutes on.
That's cool.
Mark it in between, do all the things. And then I'm exhausted by the end of the day.
I'm like, I write for 25 minutes, then I cry for 5 minutes. And then I watch an episode of Friends and say, Chandler's the best.
Any other questions?
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, we're missing people in the back.
I know. Do you see that person right there with the hand up? Are you wearing a gray? Yeah, you're shaking your hand.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hi. What?
People have given a lot of, authors give a lot of good book recommendations. What's the last book that you read that you can't stop thinking about?
Oh, okay. All the Colors of the Dark.
Oh,
yeah, that blew my mind. I can't remember the name of the author because that's a tough one. Chris Whitaker. It was my first book by him, and my friend Claire Kingsley, her manager Nikki Quinn recommended it. She messaged me, get this book now, get it right now. And I was like, okay. So it's like mystery, thriller, generational. Like, it was really good. It made me want to quit writing because they were really good. Yeah. All the Colors of the Dark. It was intense. And his writing style was really beautiful.
That's nice.
Go ahead, Megan.
I've been reading this series that's been absolutely destroying me, and I have not said what it is, but I will tell you guys now. It is the Knock 'Em Out series.
See, they don't know the story. She means destroying as in she's hate reading it, and it's not Knock 'Em Out, but no. I would understand if it was. I mean, it is amazing, but it's not for everybody.
No, that's not what it is, and I'll never tell, so don't even ask.
Well, it's too late, they asked.
I know.
What about
Lucy knows.
What is a recommendation that you have?
A recommendation would be You Deserve Each Other by Sarah Hogle. It's so good. She turned a canoe into a side character and a kayak canoe. And it was, oh God, I was so mad at myself afterwards because I was like, you suck at writing. So
yeah, it's really fun to like read a really, really good book as an author and then realize how not good you are.
Yeah. It's humbling. I see someone waving their hand in the very far back.
Oh yes, yeah, I see you. Yeah. Yes. I'm gonna say horror because it just scares me so bad. I would be like, and then I would, yeah, that would, I don't think I would do well with that because I carry this stuff with me. Yeah. So, like, if my character, oh, sorry. I just apologized for my chest.
In a deep tone, too.
Sorry.
I'm losing my thread here. I forget the question and everything.
What was it? Oh, what genre would you?
Oh, genre. Yeah, horror would be really tough for me. I think fantasy would be hard for me too because of the world building. I do great with small town, but I don't think I would excel with creating an entirely new universe with different rules.
I think you would do better than what you expect.
I mean, thank you. I mean, I got pretty good at those watercolor ducks, so maybe.
It would be the same for me.
Really?
Yeah, anything with thriller, murder, horror, I'll cry. Yeah. I can't do it. I just need to be happy at all times.
Yeah, I always am curious if those authors feel what they're writing, because, you know, if my characters are having a great time and they just had a hot date or something, I'm like, I'm so happy in my real life.
Yeah.
But when we get to the third act breakup or when somebody's unpacking their trauma, I take that with me out of my office too. So I'm always curious whether horror writers are like really morose people.
Or murdering. Are they murdering?
Yeah, are they murdering? Is this research for their books?
Yeah.
You know, I have a lot of questions.
Can we get a round of applause for a third act breakup?
Yay! Oh, it's muted.
It's muted.
Yeah, we were having a conversation. I love a third act breakup, and I know like it's the new thing to not like them, but I love them.
Yeah,
I love them so much.
I love them. I will never stop writing them. So,
sorry guys.
8 years.
Stop throwing
that in my face. Any other questions? Well, you see on the end right here.
Oh yes.
Ooh. What piece of work are you most proud of?
Ooh. I'm going to say Story of My Life. It's my latest. Actually, I'm writing the second book now, but it's in the dirty draft phase, and it's terrible. It's going to be amazing, but Story of My Life, I'm really, really proud of. It's my Eras tour. When I was trying to figure out how to create a storyline around the idea of a town for readers, I kind of went back through my own backlist and pulled out all of the things that I really loved. I think nowadays it's really easy to kind of get bogged down in listening to people tell you what they hate and what they don't want and how they'll never read another book if this is in it. But going back through my backlist, I was just able to remember so many things that I wrote when I didn't care about the end product. You know, I wasn't worried about an audience at the end. And so I was able to revisit all of this stuff, and it just really felt like an era's tour of kind of a mark of how far I've come. So I hope you guys love the book, because I loved writing it.
That's such a good answer.
Thanks.
Sweet.
What are you most proud of?
Oh, probably How My Neighbor Stole Christmas.
Yeah.
Because I made candy canes insufferable for everybody. No, I was impressed with my ability to write Grinch-like poems. And
that was
in the
tough.
Middle of April. No, I love that book. Any other questions, Lucy?
Oh gosh. Yeah, we do have a couple. Okay, here's one over here.
Ooh, whose wedding?
What was it?
Of all the couples we've created, whose wedding would we want to attend?
I know that question was just for you.
I know you have like 100 books.
I know.
Xavier and Waverly from Crossing the Line.
Yes.
They eloped to Barbados. So
ooh.
I would go there. I did crash a wedding in Barbados once, and it was great.
No, I will answer that question.
Okay.
I would attend Hudson and Sloane's Marriage of Convenience. It's a plug for my new book. It takes place in an office, and there's nothing more romantic than a marriage of convenience. April 15th, thank you.
With a stapler. You're all invited. Oh my gosh. Nobody's giving us the signal.
I know,
to wrap
so let's
up,
keep
so.
Going.
Okay, so there was somebody over here,
yeah.
I think. Yes?
What's your favorite trope to read and favorite trope to write?
Enemies to lovers, both.
Same.
My
best
favorite.
Best friends.
Did we make a heart?
We did.
Okay,
oh,
good.
No, it's like the new kids do
oh,
it
I
in
can't.
Like a weird.
I don't have the dexterity.
I know. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm doing this to you.
Thank you. I see a hand over there. Yeah. The one I struggled with the most was Things We Never Got Over. Yeah, that was a tough one. I loved it, and it took several pieces of my heart and soul, but I was writing it after somebody I loved passed away. So that was a really tough book to write.
I would say Dear Life was probably the one that I struggled with the most. It's one of my saddest ones.
Yeah.
I was going through like a little bit of, even when you adopt, you have some postpartum,
mm-hmm.
And I was struggling a lot because when we adopted our son, we were in the room when our birth mother was giving him away, and that, like, never happens.
And so I had to watch her, like, hand me over the child, and I just kept thinking about how I took someone else's baby. And it was just really hard to get over. And mm-hmm. so to kind of work through those feelings, I wrote Dear Life. And, yeah, that was probably definitely my hardest one. I see someone in the very, very far back. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Your process is probably a little more involved, right?
I draw mine out.
Yeah.
With stick figures. Yeah.
That's really neat.
And I'm like, this is what I want. And I'll draw it out on a piece of paper. And actually, I lied. I do it on a post-it note. And I use different colors. And then I go, here you go. That's what I want.
And you send it to a cover designer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about you?
Sometimes it depends. Like things we never got over. I had a vibe in mind. I had the title, and I had written the book. I'm like the worst for my poor publisher because I don't like to have a title ahead of time. I don't. I want the story to be done. Then I know what it's about.
Commitment issues.
Yeah. Mm, maybe a little. Mm-hmm. But I spent hours scrolling through a stock art website, and I found the Daisy photo. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, that is it. And I sent the title and the link to the photo to my cover designer, Carrie March Designs. And I said, here. And she sent me a design back, and that's what we went with. Like, it was instantaneous. Yeah.
She's been around for so long.
She's amazing. Wow. She's so good. I think we changed, like, one petal of the daisy. We brought it out over a letter, but that was it. It was one of those things that was, like, it was perfect from the get-go.
What about this one?
This one we went through a lot of iterations. Like, this one was not an easy design to come up with. I know, look how simple it looks. Yeah, I think every book of mine is different. But I do have the object for the second book in the series, so I know what that is. And
do
I'm
you
very
tell
excited.
Us?
No.
No, okay. I tried, you guys, sorry.
But the title is Mistakes Were Made.
Yeah.
It'll be out in, forget it, a really long time. I'm still writing it. Hopefully we'll get it next year. Gauge. Yeah.
Yay. Right there.
Oh.
I think we both get a say.
It depends on if you have the rights to your audio.
Yeah, you can license the rights to somebody else, and that company could then just do what they want with it. I keep my rights. That's actually my brother. That's how he started working for us. He started producing my audio. So I found Natalie Duke / Lila Winters really early in my career, and I just love the way she performs. Like, there's a lot of great narrators out there, but some of them just read. And I wanted it to be, like, performed. So I found her, and she's amazing. And then Sebastian York is fantastic. And he and Lila and my brother get along really well. So that's my go-to team right now. We've worked with a couple others that have been great also. But yeah, we're getting, thank you. That's for us, right? One more question.
Okay.
One more question.
I'm not picking.
Oh, I'm seeing an aggressive hand waving
okay.
right there. Oh my gosh, I did go to Mackinac Island. I didn't know I was researching because I had no idea, but as soon as I stepped foot off the ferry, I was like, I'm gonna write a book here. Actually, what I said is, I'm going to murder someone here in book form, but I was like super, super excited. I just fell in love with it. Oh my gosh, I can't remember the main fudge place. We tried like three of them. So we had a lot of fudge. It was fantastic.
Okay, I think we're gonna get going. Can we take a picture of everybody real quick, though?
Holding up your books, would that be okay? Can we bring the house lights up? And we're gonna stand up here, and yay! Can we use your phone?
Yeah.
We'll take like a selfie.
Pam's right there too.
Oh, okay. Oh, perfect. I'm so excited. Thank you guys so much for being here. This is awesome.
Hold up the books high, everyone.
I hope my butt.
You gotta make the beep beep noises.
I hope my butt looks good.
Yes! Beep 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 beep.
I'm clenching so hard.
Thank you guys so much for being here.